Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Let's see, turn with me to Isaiah 43, chapter 5. And please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your cell phones, put them on the silent and off position. Hallelujah. Here we go. I've entitled this morning's message, Fear Not, for I Am With You. Fear not, for I am with you. So before we go any further, before we read the scriptures, one of the things that I found in life that has become paralyzing, it becomes crippling, is when a spirit of fear comes upon you. You see, you may have an agenda, you may have a plan set out, you may have a thought that you want to play out, and all of a sudden, a spirit of fear will come upon you, and it'll collapse everything that you had intended for that moment, for that time, for that day, for that week, for that month. And what does the spirit want to do? What? Notice, it's a spirit. It's not an emotion. It's a spirit. God calls fear a spirit. That's why he says, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but I give you a spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. So it's a spirit that comes upon. And let me tell you, when that comes upon you, it's hard to shake it unless you are rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Only God's Word can help you escape from the spirit of fear and with the power of the Holy Spirit. Without that, forget about it. You're going to be crippled all day long. You're going to go, woe is me. And so, one of the things that I found, we're going to go to Isaiah right now, and we're going to read these scriptures. But then we're going to go to a story back in Genesis. And it's brought out in Exodus. It was a time when Moses had delivered the children of Israel. And they were by the Red Sea, ready to cross, just camping out by the sea. And then Pharaoh said, I'm not done with them. Let's go and kill them. So just imagine the spirit of fear that came upon them. They saw a vast army coming to kill them. So what would go through your mind? If you knew in your mind, now in your mind, their mind, that they were going to die in about an hour. Yes, and they called Moses everything and talked about his mama. Oh, they cursed out Moses. You brought us here to die. So, let's go to the scriptures and let's go see what God has for us this morning. Isaiah 43, 5 through 11, and it reads, Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Verse 7, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed, yes, I have made him. Bring out the blind people who have eyes and deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled who among them can declare this and show us former things. Let them bring out the witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Verse 10, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I, the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I brought out this scripture is because this is our go-to God. Can I get amen? There's no other God to go to. There's no other name to call upon. And that name is Jesus. The Bible says there's no other name among men given among men whereby we must be saved. And that is the name of Jesus. Say that with me. Jesus. The only name. It's the only saving name. And so, I looked at Webster's dictionary and I looked at human fear. What is human fear? Human fear, it's a spirit, like I said, that comes upon us. Look at this. It brings a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, pain, whether the threat is real or imagined, the feeling or condition of being afraid. When a person gets to this place right here, the next thing that falls right after this is depression. Fear is the door opener to all these other ailments that humans experience. Depression, anxiety, you name it. Self-unworthiness. You ever felt like you were unworthy? Or have you ever been told when you were a child that you weren't going to be anything in life? Oh, come on. Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord. And here are the synonyms for, look at this. The synonyms for fear. Qualm, trepidation, horror, panic, fright, terror, dread, dismay, consternation, apprehension, and foreboding. You break all these down, and you're in a world of trouble, mentally and spiritually. And it'll disable you physically. For those of you that have come in, there's some chairs up in here. There's some more chairs up in here. So we're going to look at Exodus. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus 14. And we're going to look at verses 10 through 31. How many love to read the Word of God? I'll tell you, the Word of God is something else. Amen. Praise God. So let's go to Exodus 14:10. Here we go. This is a story, like I mentioned, when Pharaoh decided, you know what? Even though I let them go, I'm going to run after them and kill them. Why? Because of the hardness of his heart. His heart was hardened. And he said, no. They were under our care for 400 years. We can't just let them go. And because they were delivered, he wants to kill them now. So let's look at this story. And it reads in verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Now, look how they turned it on him. He delivered them from being beaten to death every day. They had a ration of food. And yet, God delivered them to have a brand new life. And they turned on him right away because of a spirit of fear. Look at verse 12. Is this not the word that we we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. No hope, no vision. It all went out the window when they saw the chariots coming. What has come your way that has thwarted your path? Huh? And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the what? The salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. You know, praise God that was someone still in the gap. Listen, if you cannot stand in the gap, find someone that will stand in the gap for you. Can I get amen? Amen. Because a spirit of fear will come upon you every now and then. But you're not to wallow in it. You're not to be like these people here who threw out all their hope. They forgot what Moses did. They forgot about the 10 plagues. They forgot about the firstborn dying that finally freed them. That all went out the window just because they saw some chariots coming. Wow. Look at this. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. I said forever. Didn't say, well, you know what? We'll get rid of them today, but they may come back tomorrow. You better understand forever means forever. Look at verse 14. The Lord will fight for you. Say that with me. The Lord will fight for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Lord will fight for you. You see, the problem is we take the battle and we want to fight that battle ourselves. Let me just say this. Your arms are too short to box with God. Let me say that again. Your arms are too short to box with God. Give it to God. Listen, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Listen, if God would have told me that, I would have like, really? You're going to do this, God? You got to remember, he did all the other 10 plagues, right? Here's the bottom line. What is too hard for God? Is there anything too hard in your life that God cannot accomplish? Wow. Look at verse 17. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. See, that's a place reserved for God alone, is the heart of man. So don't try to change someone. You know, we all try to change someone, train someone, dictate to someone. No. Only God can turn the heart. Can I get an amen? A lot of times you say, God, you gave them to me, you gave her to me, I'm not going to touch it. That's your daughter, that's your son. You let your will be done, God. And don't pray anything malicious toward them. Can I get amen? Because you start praying malicious things, now you're operating like a witch and a warlock. Only witches do that. Can I get amen? Amen? You're always edifying and building up. Let your will be done, God. Strengthen them, God. Help them, God. Lord, let them see the things that you need them to see, God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, but we all want to be Dr. Fix-It. Let me fix it. Jesus, help us. Help us, God. And it says, in verse 18, the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. Oh, let's go back and read that again. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, the chariots and what? His horsemen. Look at verse 19. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and a darkness to the one, and gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other that all night. Look how God put a barrier. Isn't that a mighty God? Come on, Jesus. Thank you, God. Man, he didn't need to call the military. He didn't need to call the Navy, the Army. No, God did it himself. Hallelujah, by his right hand. Thank you, God. Look at verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into what? Dry land. And the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Okay, so most of you have seen the Ten Commandments and got a little glimpse. But just imagine if you were there on the spot and watching this wall of water on both sides. And then you're walking on dry land. No puddles. No mud. All dry. Man, that must have been a sight to see. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. And many of you here, or maybe just some of you, needs to have that Red Sea parted for you. Some of you are facing something right now that's excruciating. It could be financial. It could be relational. It could be addictions. It could be people in your family that are lost and they need hope. Well, guess what? God has called you to be that hope for them. To be in the gap for them. Can I get an amen? To give them a glimpse of hope. That's what Moses was. He was that hope for them. Moses was a called out one. And guess what? The way that God called out Moses, he called out the church no differently. We're all little Moseses in here. Can I get amen? Amen. Oh, that's right. That's right. Doesn't he speak to you? He speaks to me. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And the key is having a relationship with the Lord. You know how I can tell people that really engage in God? Is the ones that come out to prayer. When there's a prayer meeting. The ones that press out, they have a unique relationship with God. Why? Because they know how to press in. They know how to engage. They know how to let go and let God. But when there's no one here to pray, it's because there's no urgency. There's no need. Everything's okay. Until it falls out through the bag. And then you're going to really get on your knees. Can I get an amen? You're going to wish the church was praying with you. Help me, God. Look at verse 23. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them in the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning, watch, that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud. And he troubled the army of the Egyptians. Man, they was troubled. Come on. Man, Pharaoh's probably going, not again. Not again. Yes, again. Hallelujah. God won't quit until you say uncle. You ever wrestled your little brother and put him in a headlock? Say uncle. Remember that? Say uncle. Verse 25. And he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. When's the last time a family member, a friend, an acquaintance can honestly say, God fights for you? God fights for you. Have they seen God fight for you? Hallelujah. Let me just say this. God fights for us 24/7. He neither sleeps nor he slumbers. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. He fights. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and on their horsemen. Look at verse 27. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. The Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Wow. Wow, what a thing to see, huh? They're right in the middle of the dry, parched land, walls of water on both sides, and then the water collapses on them. Wow. And they didn't go skinny dipping. Look at verse 28. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained, but the children of Israel walked on dry land on the midst of, look at that, on the midst of the sea. The waters were walled to them on their right and on their left side. Verse 30. So the Lord saved Israel. Did you catch that? He saved Israel. This is what God wants to do in our life. Continually save us from our bacon. Can I get an amen? Oh, come on. Come on. When you get sick, he wants to heal you. When you come into a financial rut, he wants to bless you. When you have relational problems, he wants to restore you. Come on. God is there to fight your battle, but you got to give it to him. You got to give it to the Lord. And you got to watch out with the naysayers. There's a lot of naysayers. And so everyone, saints of God, is afraid at times. How many have been afraid at times? Oh, come on. I'd be lying to you if I didn't put my hand up. There are times. And it's always about something that's probably insignificant. Yet, to you, is significant. So we live in a world, saints, that offers plenty of chances to fear. Look what's happening in the country right now. It's chaotic, isn't it? Huh? The streets are chaotic right now. There's paid agitators, and there's real agitators, and then you got this and that. You got that. Wow. There's going to be an uprising soon. And this is where we need to get close to God. This is where you need to really get close to God. That's right. One of the most repeated commands in the Bible is, do not fear. Do not be afraid. And the Bible does more than issue that command. It gives us good reasons why we do not need to be afraid. Once again, I talked about several issues that bring on fear. But let's look at this. I jotted these down so that I didn't forget. I put these down as notes. Look at this. Number one, a negative doctor's report of a terminal condition. Let me just hit on that right now. There's a guy named Mario. Friends of Brother Marty and Sister Judy. I think their kid plays baseball with, on the team, right? So they're parents of that kid. And I guess Mario had his colon erupted. Went into emergency surgery, then went into a coma. And everything was shutting down. Kidneys, he had kidney failure and all that. And so they were giving him the 10 count. So we went in there. Many people went in there. My brother Dell and brother Marty went in there one day and prayed. Catherine was there every day praying for him. And we were saying, no, devil, you can't have him. He's too young. He's only 30. He still has a life ahead of him. There's still a chance for him to be saved and his family to be saved. Oh, God, show them some mercy that they may praise you later. And he was in that condition for a month, at least, right? Almost a month or more. And then I got a text. It was a group text that Sister Judy sent out. He was being wheeled out from the hospital, going home. Come on. Brother Steve, you remember your friend. What was his name again?
Joel,
yes. So, he had a really good friend that had gotten the flu.
Oh, that was Rusty in the mountains?
No, that was Sean.
Sean.
Okay. Sean. Yeah, multiple guys.
And so he was at Kaiser, remember?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So me and Brother Felipe went in there to pray for him. And he was in a coma for what?
A long time.
Everybody
else was dying.
Everyone was dying around him with that flu bug. Yeah, and they were saying he doesn't have much time either, because the machine was breathing for him. Mm-hmm. He couldn't breathe on his own no more. So me and Brother Felipe went on, we anointed him with oil, and we prayed in the Holy Ghost, and we asked God to do the miraculous. We asked God to do something that we can't not do, that the doctors cannot do. And so within an hour after we had left, he rose up. He rose up. And then he came to church and gave God the glory, didn't he?
Amen.
We were at Temple Beth Shalom there. He came and he brought his whole family. I'm praying for Mario to come, hallelujah, and say thank you for all those who prayed for me. I'm hoping for him to come. You got to give God thanks when God does something miraculous like that. You have to understand that it didn't happen by circumstance. It wasn't the doctors, but it was the grace of God. It was the mercy of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Pray that God will bring him and his family here to give God all the glory and all the praise. Because there was a lot of saints that labored for him, especially Sister Catherine. Listen, if you want a pit bull by your bedside, hallelujah. Assign this one. God will assign her to your bedside. Hallelujah. And she will not leave until something happens.
Thank you, God. Hey,
hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so what brings on spirit of fear? A doctor's report, loss of a loved one, and now being alone, being fired or laid off from your job. No longer have health insurance? Who don't have health insurance now? It's okay. Listen, it's okay if you don't have HMO and PPO no more. You should be thankful you have Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He's my hope.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
He's my hope.
Come on with it.
Hallelujah. And everything else. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Thank you, God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Look at this. Lawlessness throughout our country. We're seeing the lawlessness everywhere. House invasions and auto robbery. It's everywhere right now. It's everywhere. Be praying for your vehicle. If you park it outside of your complex or your house, you don't have a garage. Right now it's like it's open season. Because there are a lot of folks that are just corrupt. There's a lot of corrupt folks. And so, let's look at godly fear. We have to look at godly fear. Godly fear is totally different from a spirit of fear. A spirit of fear comes from old Slewfoot. It comes from the enemy. It comes from old Satan himself to try to disable you. But godly fear is reverential fear, meaning I'm in awe of God and I fear God only because He created me. It's called reverential fear. You're reverencing Him. Thank you, God. Look what King David wrote here regarding godly fear. Look at this. It's found in Psalms 34:8. Look at this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. Thank you, God. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You know, we sought the Lord for this life of Mario. We sought Him. We sought the Lord on this. And Catherine was there 24/7. Every day she was there. And she got to meet a whole lot of people there. Every day someone else came in there. But she was there. But she sought the Lord. She sought the Lord. Why? Because it says, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. There was no lack in it. Can I get amen? Amen. Look at this. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. This is an exhortation to all of us. Guard your mouth and your tongue. Can I get amen? It's easy to curse someone. It's so much harder to praise someone. I've heard it said like this. We can wake up in the morning praising God, in the evening cursing somebody out with the same tongue. That same tongue. Look at this. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are righteous. And let me just say this. I need us to not think it like this. We are not self-righteous here. We are righteous on what Jesus did on the cross for you and I. So the blood washes us and causes us to be right before God. So now we can stand before God righteously. Can I get amen? Without any sin or blemish. Thank you, God. But we're not above nobody. We're not self-righteous. We're not conceited. We're not braggadocious. Oh, come on. There's some people that love to brag. The tales of Commander McBragg. Oh, that went over somebody's head like that. That went... Those were our cartoons back then, Pastor Art. The Tales of Commander McBragg. There were like 2-minute cartoons, but he was everything to everybody. Yeah. He would tell his butler, I was the king of this country, or I was the richest man over here. And yeah, he was just nothing but braggadocious. So let's look at this verse here. Verse 15. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. Notice that God hears us. He hears you. He don't hear the unbeliever. He don't hear those who are unrighteous. He only hears the righteous. Look at this. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. Praise God. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as a contrite heart. This is the key. I want you to catch that verse 18 here. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite heart. What does a contrite heart mean? A contrite spirit? That means there's a brokenness in you. That means, you know what? I want to surrender my whole heart to you, Jesus. I want to give you everything. Because in my own righteousness is but filthy rags. I'm filthy. I'm undone. I need you. And so when a person comes to that place and they're ready to be baptized, that's when God can do the miraculous in their life. But there has to be true brokenness. There has to be a true repentance. Turning. God's not going to save you if you go back and do the Santana thing. You know what that is? Your evil ways. Going back to your evil ways. God will save you if you really want to change and don't want that lifestyle no more. Amen. You don't want to curse no more. You don't want to hang out with all those who want to fornicate and cause you to commit adultery and the ungodly music. God wants to sanctify you. So this is why baptism is so important, to know that you're not going there just to get wet. You're going there because your heart is broken before God. And you want to surrender. You don't want to live that lifestyle no more. You want a new life. And God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you you cannot contain. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. But you gotta surrender all. You know that old song? There's an old song, I surrender all. I surrender all. Yes, all to Jesus. You gotta surrender it all. Look at verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. What? So no matter what comes our way, don't fear, don't panic. God will deliver you. Can I get amen? Amen. I was down and out going on my second wing. And then God delivered me.
Praise the Lord.
He delivered me in one day.
Thank you, Jesus.
It was like, God, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I don't like being down. But when you're down, get a hold of God.
That's right.
Can I get amen? Touch the hem of his garment and don't let him go. Because he has a blessing for you. Look at this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. Let me just say this. If there's people in your life that ridicule you, that mock you, that are spreading malicious rumors and saying nasty things about you, don't lift a finger. Don't say a thing. God will fight your battle. God will fight your battle. That's right. Because when you get in the way, God will just step back. Oh, you got it. Oh. Okay, let's see how far you get. No, get out of the way. Let God fight your battle. I'd rather have him fight my battle. Can I get amen? Yeah, you're gonna go through the time of slandering and mocking and naysaying and all that. Everyone has experienced that. Can I get amen? Even when we were in elementary school, there were bullies. Oh, come on. Well, guess what? They're still adult bullies now. Never grew up. Never grew up. Yeah, they'll look at you and say, I remember. Look at verse 21. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Wow. Man, how many want that assurance? This is called blessed assurance. Only God can promise this to you. And only we can pray the scriptures over you, what God has already written, forever settled in heaven. The word of God is already forever settled in heaven. But when we fail to trust God, knowing what he has done for us, what he wants to do for us, and we take it into our own hands, this is when we crash and burn. And we want to throw in the towel. Look what I found in 1 John 4. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may what? Have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Catch that? There's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If you understand the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the goodness of God, the graciousness of God, that he is worthy to be praised, if you understand who he is in your life, you'll learn to cast out that fear through his perfect love. Because he is perfecting that every day in your life, in my life, in your life. Every morning that we wake up, new mercies are given to us. Did you know there's some people that didn't wake up this morning? And yet he woke us up. Why? Because he's good. And his mercy endures forever. And we are made perfect in his love. Did you know that? You may not look perfect to one another, but to him you look perfect. Did you know that God did not make a mistake when he made you? That's right. Look at this right up here. Sometimes we believe that God is leading us in a certain direction, but as we continue down that path, we become discouraged and uncertain because it's not working out as we expected. What is your expectation of God? You see, here's what we fail to see. The outcome. There's an outcome to every predicament in life. So there's a cause and a solution. And whatever the cause is, God has a solution. But a lot of times we can't wait for his solution to come to pass. So we get involved. And we put our hands in. And we get our hands muddied up. And then God says, are you going to give it to me? Can you give that to me? I want to help you. I want to bless you. And so when we look around at certain situations, saints, we forget that God is our provider and protector. And we substitute what he said in his word with our own plans. With our own reasoning. You ever seen the movie Gulliver's Travel? Remember Gulliver? How many remember Gulliver? Remember the little people? There was one, out of all of them, there was one that said, it'll never work. That'll never happen. We can't do that. Is that you when it pertains to the things of God? That God cannot do that? God can't help you? Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. Oh, God, help us. Look what I found in Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, we got little pea brains down here. Little pea pod brains. God is so vast. When you look at the galaxy through the Hubble telescope, that's just a smidgen of who God is. He's beyond the Milky Ways and the galaxies. Did you know that God lives in the third heaven? We live in the first heaven. The Bible talks about three heavens. The first heaven is here on earth, under the atmosphere. Then when we leave the atmosphere, then we go into the galaxies, the space, where the stars, planets, comets, solar systems, you know, galaxies, all that. And Hubble can only see so far. And everything is trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of light years away from each other. And yet above that is the third heaven where God lives. So just imagine how vast and how big God is. This is how much He cares for you. This little smidgen of a planet, we're just but a little speck. You ever put salt and pepper on an egg and you see all the little pepper flakes? Just one of those little flakes is Earth. And everything else is vast. God fills all space. So my question is, what's too hard for God? Why do you fear things? But we're understanding now that we are made perfect in His love. And that love, the godly love, casts out all fear. And so we think God will understand why we had to change direction when we make our own directions. But saints, the only plan that will fail is our own plan. Because the Lord never supports disobedience. Did you know that? He'll never support our disobedience. We can try to justify it. We can try to say, but God, this way's better. This way is going to save me, God. Time this way, God. It's going to save me money, God. Now God said, no, you're not doing it my way. Learn to trust me. Look at this. When we forget the unconditional promises of God, we begin to fear man. We begin to fear man. Wow. When we forget God's unconditional promises in the Word, saints, we'll begin to react in fear instead of faith. Do you know what destroys faith? Is fear. Then we end up where we shouldn't be, doing something that we shouldn't have done. Feeling that feeling that we should not feel. You ever feel uneasy doing something that you shouldn't have done? Maybe you shouldn't have said. And you can't retract that no more. Once it was let out, it's done. All you can do is get on your face before God and say, God, forgive me. Help me iron it out, God. And God won't leave you without any hope. He's the God of all hope. He's the God of all grace. That's right. Look what I found. Paul, I love what Paul wrote here in 2 Corinthians. Look at this. For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now He who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us in God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you've been anointed. And look what He has done because we've have been anointed. Look at this. Who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Wow. You can't get a guarantee like this at Costco. You can't go to Geico and get a guarantee or AAA. Only God can guarantee this in your heart. Only He can. That's right. Look at this. When we stop trusting God and start fearing circumstances, we're willing to cause others pain and great harm in order to protect ourselves. Wow. We go there sometimes, don't we? Learn to trust God, saints. This message is to build us all up. It is to let us look at fear a little closer. Because we look at the word fear, and sometimes it just goes over us like this. Oh, yeah. No. We're learning that there's two types of fear. There's godly fear, and then there's a spirit of fear that comes from the enemy. And so the origin, let's look at this. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear. See, notice, God has not given you. He doesn't give you a spirit of fear. He will never give you a spirit of fear because he knows it'll terrorize you. He knows it'll disable you. He knows that you'll go frantic. He knows that it'll paralyze you. He's not going to put a spirit of fear like he did on Saul. King Saul. God sent him a tormenting spirit for being disobedient and removed the kingdom from him and removed the Holy Spirit from him. Wow. But God don't do that to us. Why? Because you and I were precious in his sight. And we don't live in that dispensation. We live in the new covenant now. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And now we're his. How many are so blessed to know that God is not a... Remember back in the day, an ending giver? We used to call them ending givers, right? No offense to Indians. But that's what we used to do. Oh, I thought you gave that to me. I want it back. You want it back? I used to break it and give it back. Oh, come on. Come on. We were ugly back then. Come on. Look at this. Here are five helpful connotations regarding fear. And so, number one, how should we deal with fear? How should we deal? We're coming in for a close now. How shall we deal? This number one, you got to acknowledge it. Acknowledge you're afraid. There's nothing wrong to say, hey, you know what? I'm afraid about this. Oh, God, help me. Help me, Lord. Before you can deal with fear, you must admit it's a problem in your life. Number two, identify its source. Where do you suppose it's coming from? I know one thing. Don't always believe what a doctor tells you. Huh? I don't know how many times. Well, I just shared two testimonies. Two people that were in comas. They gave them no hope. And then God comes in and rescues them. You have to ask yourself if you're afraid of a situation with an uncertain outcome or the consequences of past choices. Some of us have made some bad choices. Can I get an amen? Once you know the true source, saints, you'll be able then to address it in the correct way. Number three, change your focus. Some of us, man, we get locked in that spirit of fear. You get tunnel vision. You don't see anything around you. You just look at what's causing you to be fearful. Do you know God's there sitting with you? You know, he's saying, just give it to me. Let me take this from you. Rely on Isaiah 41:10. Rely on it. It says this: "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God wants to do that for you if you allow Him to. See, you know what we're facing with fear? It's a faith battle. If the enemy can rock your faith and take away your faith, all you got left is fear. But if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, the size of a pulga, when we were in Israel, our tour guide gave us a mustard seed. And they were so tiny. It was as small as a flea. That's why I call them the little pulgas. But that little seed, when planted, will grow into a big tree. That tiny little seed, what? How could that be? The Bible says if you have faith that small, you'll be able to move a mountain. You'll be able to say to that mountain, "Move." You'll be able to say to that cancer, "You're done.
Come on."
Diabetes and all these hypertension, all these things that plague mankind, you'll be able to speak to it and say, "Be gone right now in the name of Jesus. I cancel you today."
Come on.
When's the last time you anointed your own head and lay hands on your own head and prayed for your own self? Can I get an amen? Sometimes we got to pray for ourselves. Oh, come on. That's right. Pray for yourself. Jesus, help us, God. God will deliver you from any predicament. We just saw how He delivered the children of Israel. And guess what? This is where you guys need to, in your mind, if you, most of us in here, can only do backflips in our mind now. We're not high school gymnasts no more. We're not seniors in high school that possibly could do a backflip. But here's the backflips that you need to remember. God delivered us from hell. When He came and saved us, He delivered us from drugs and alcohol, fornication. He delivered us from all manner of iniquity, from wickedness. Many of us deserve death, yet God said, "Not so. I got a plan for you. I got a plan for you. And I got a plan for you." Hallelujah. I believe God has a plan today for someone. Hallelujah. I believe someone here is going to be baptized. Someone's going to give their heart to Christ. And the power of the Holy Spirit is going to fall upon them. How many want to see that?
Amen.
Come on. We want to see God falling on folks now. Come on. Hallelujah. Delivering them. Well, that's right. And so I close with this last thing right here. Lay down your fear. Lay it down. And you fully and truly understand that the Lord is faithful. He's loving. He's omnipotent, meaning He fills all space. None of us should have any reason to hold on to any type of anxiety, any kind of shortcomings. Why? Because He will always keep us. And the promises that He has for us are always will be yes and amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Come on, give God a shout of praise. Come on, is He worthy? Before we close, I feel someone that's battling through certain situations in their life. Raise up your hand if you're going through a battle right now. Something that's just, you're battling right now. Don't be shy. Raise up your hand. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let me look at the north wing over here. Anybody over here? Okay, we got them. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask those who lift up their hands, come up here real quick, and we're just going to corporately pray. Come on. Come up here. We're going to pray. And then we'll close out and pray together. Father, these precious hands that went up, right now, Lord, there's a battle in their life right now. Lord, you know what they are, God. You know what they are, God, but you are the way maker. You will make a way where it seems like there's no way. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray deliverance. I pray, Lord, that you would set them free. I pray, Lord, that you would resolve the issues in their life. Lord, that you would remove the fear and doubt and any kind of anxiety. I pray, Lord, that you would do the miraculous in their life. Lord, I pray for supernatural blessings upon their life. I pray, Lord God, that you would do what they cannot do on their own strength, that it would be through the mighty name and the power of the risen Christ in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, abundance of joy to come upon them right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, touch right now, hallelujah, from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. God, touch them in mighty ways, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we ask, Lord, right now, Lord, that you would pour out your spirit, your power, your blessing upon them, oh God. And Lord, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would bind the enemy. We bind and rebuke the spirit of fear right now. For God did not give you all a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. God is strengthening you right now. God, hallelujah, is lifting you up right now. God is speaking to you right now that everything's going to be all right. Yes. Hallelujah. No matter what it looks like, God will make it all right in His time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord. Bind the strong man right now, God. In the name of Jesus. Bind the strong man. Bind the strong man. Hallelujah. Let there be liberty. Let there be grace. Lord, let the word of God be taught in their homes. Oh, God, let Jesus be the God that's worshipped in their home. Oh, God. Show them what they must do, oh, God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless them, Lord.
Amen.
Bless
you.
Them, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hey, I'm going to, before we dismiss, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for those who are on Facebook and YouTube. We want to thank and praise God for those of you that have joined us. And maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is your opportunity right now. So I'm going to ask these beautiful people here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too can be set free. And if you cry out with this prayer, I pray that you find a church that teaches the full Word of God, the unadulterated Word of God, and find a church and you've never been baptized, be baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. And watch God do the miraculous in your life. So pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Come on, is he worthy? Man, hallelujah.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.